Today's daf is Mem Vav. We're going to start at the Mishnah at the bottom of Mem Hey Amud Bet. Kol haniskalim nitzlin, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim omrim, eino nitzle ela hamegadef v'aoved avodah zarah. Okay, there's a machloka between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim about whether all people who get skila are hung, or only those who curse God and worship avodah zarah. Okay, where's the reference to this? This is often the pasuk, if you look in Dvarim Kaf Aleph. Ki ye be'ish chet mishpat mavet. Okay, it's Dvarim Kaf Aleph Kaf Bet. I put it on the sheet. The person has a chet mishpat mavet, v'humat v'talita oto ala etz, and he gets killed, and then you hang him on a tree. Lo talin yivlato ala etz, don't leave it on the tree. Ki kavur tikberenu bayomahu, he has to be buried that day. Okay, so we're going to see exactly how long he's on the tree. We're going to get to that today. Ki kililat Elohim taloi. We're going to read this all because we're going to darshan this. Because the one who, exactly how to translate this is the big question. But let's say the one who cursed God, kililat Elohim, or the one that's cursed by God, it's unclear exactly how to read this, is taloi. Velohi is hung. Okay, that's where they get that. It's only hamigadef, those who curse God, and haoved avodah zarah. Okay, that's the source for Chachamim, who are going to say the only person who it's referring to is not anyone who gets skila, but dafka someone who curses God or is aved avodah zarah.
We're talking about hanging the dead body on a tree.
Hanging the dead body after it's stoned.
Oh, okay?
Yeah. So it's stoned, and then they hang the dead body. We'll get to the order soon also, but it sounds clear from the pasuk. V'humat, and then v'talita. You hang the dead body on the tree. Okay? V'lo titameh adan macha. Okay, we'll skip that part. So, Machloket, is this pasuk referring to all niskalim or only those who curse God or oved avodah zarah? Next machloket between Rabbi Lezer and Chachami. Ha'ish tolin oto panav klapei ha'am, va'isha klapei ha'etz. Another issue of tzniut. When they hang the man, they hang him facing the people. But when they hang the woman, they hang her facing away from the people for tzniut purposes. Okay, the assumption is, we're going to see this inside later, that they're still without their clothes on. V'halo, Shimon ben Shetach, talan nashim ba'ashkelon. Okay, what about Shimon ben Shetach? Oh, sorry, I skipped an important line. V'chachamim omrim ha'ish nitle ve'ein ha'isha nitleit. According to Chachamim, women don't get hung at all. Okay, because it's not tzenua to hang a woman's body up in public. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, v'halo Shimon ben Shetach, talan nashim ba'ashkelon. The story we referenced the other day, that was in Rashi, was that Shimon ben Shetach hung all these women. When he killed them, he hung them all. And he hung all these women. So how could it possibly be? Amrulo, Shmonim Nashim Tala. They said, well, he hung 80 women. And we know, Ve'ein Danim Shnayim B'yom Echad. So what's the point here? The point is that they say, don't look at what Shimon ben Shetach did and try to learn halakha from here. Shimon ben Shetach was doing something that was, again, we saw this the other day, something that was outside the legal system. It was a hora'at sha'ah, and generally we don't judge more than two people in one day. We'll get to exactly what the criteria are for this. But at this point, we're just going to say we don't judge two people in one day. And therefore, the fact that he killed 80 women in one day means that he was doing something different than the typical halacha, which means that when he hung the women also, it was clear that it was this hora'at sha'ah and he needed to do it to make a scene and to show everybody that he was killing the witches. And remember even the story we saw yesterday that it was, you know, it was bad that he hadn't dealt with it. So number one, he wanted to show people not to behave this way, but also from the story we saw yesterday, it seems that he also wanted to make a point that he was dealing with it. So he wanted to make it very public, in which case you don't learn from here about women in general. We don't generally hang women, according to Chachamim. And Rabbi Lezer, you can't use that as proof that we hang women because you can't learn from the story of Shimon ben Shetach. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. And even maybe because of this, we're going to get to also situations where the rabbis can act outside of the halakha and do things that aren't exactly the way the law says, because sometimes there's a greater need and a greater issue at stake. So there's flexibility to do that. Even though we have a legal system and you're supposed to keep within the legal system, there's sometimes ability to make exceptions. We'll also talk about that today later. Tanu Rabbanan, vihumat vitalita. So look at the pasuk again. Ki yabi'ish chet mishpat mavet vihumat, and he's killed vitalito toala etz. Okay, it's on the sheet. It's a sheet for today. So the juxtaposition of vihumat and vitalita. Okay, so the braita starts like this. Yachol kol hamumatim nitlim. You might have thought everyone who gets killed is hung. Talmud lamar ki kilalat Elohim taloi. You might have thought, right, this opinion isn't even mentioned in the Mishnah. We saw two opinions in the Mishnah. One said it was all Niskalin, and one said it was only those who curse God and worship Avodah Zarah. But now there's a suggestion that maybe it means anyone who's killed by the court, because it does seem pretty general.
Killed by skila or killed anyway.
So that's what they're suggesting. Maybe it's anybody who's killed by skila, shreifa, hereg, or chenek, because it says behumat generally. So you might have thought that, but Talmud lomar, that's why it says ki kilelat Elohim taloi. What do you learn from here? That we're talking about a mekalel Hashem. Ma mekalel ze shebeskila, av kol shebeskila. Therefore, we're going to learn it's just someone who curses God and anyone who's like him. Well, what's anyone who's like him? Anyone else who gets skila and not any other mitat beitin. Mechachamim amrim, ma mekalel ze shekafar biikar, av kol shekafar biikar. He says, what makes this mekalel unique? It's not, how would you define a mekalel? It's not that he gets skila, and we're going to use that to say, oh, and anyone who gets skila. It's that he is kofir. He goes against God, right? He basically rebels against the concept that there's God because he curses God. So since he curses God, anyone who's like that, which would be Chachamim's opinion, which is Ha'oved Avodah Zarah. Okay, so we have basically two opinions about what makes this mekalel unique, right? We're going to learn from here, mekalel is anyone who goes against God, right? So that would be Oved Avodah Zarah. I really should have done the reverse, but let's just say Oved Avodah Zarah, and anyone who, right, and the mekalel Hashem. Or is it going to be anyone who's niskal? Okay? So that's the question. Now we're going to see how they actually get to those two different opinions, okay? Because they each have a different way of darshaning the Torah. We've seen this before. There's a difference between klal uprat and riboy umiut. Okay? So riboy and miut, there's klal uprat, which means, right, the Torah says something general and then it's very specific. So generally when we say when there's something general and something specific, which is also riboy and miut, riboy is it includes a lot, and then it's mima'et, it narrows it down. So what's the difference between klal uprat and riboy umiut? So generally, let's just say what's similar. Klal uprat and riboy umiut starts off general and gets specific. So then what we say is since it started general and gets specific, we're going to learn that it's like the specific item. The difference between a riboy and miut is that the riboy and miut includes more than the klal uprat. When it narrows it down, it doesn't narrow it so specifically. It narrows it a little less specifically. That's the basic difference. So here we're going to see, and I charted this all out so you could see. Okay, here we have the chart. We have their opinions, the source in the Torah, okay, where they get it from, and then the basis to the machloket, which we're going to see that Rabbi Lezer is dorish riboy and miute, and chachamim radashe klal uprat, and the second chart shows all the different, what they do with the psukim and how they learn it. So they're all going to darsh in the same words and the same concepts. They're just going to go in a, again, the riboy miute is going to be more inclusive, and the klal uprat is going to be more exclusive. So, b'may kamiflegei, Rabbanan darshe klali uprate, Rabbi Lezer darshe riboy umiute. Okay, Rabbanan is the first opinion they're bringing on my chart. It's the opposite, just because I wanted it to match the first chart, which started with Rabbi Lezer. Okay, Rabbanan darshe klali uprate. How does it work? Vihumat is a klal, right? Vitalita, humat vitalita is a klal, right? Those are very general terms. Anyone who would get killed. Ki kililat Elohim taloi, that's already the prat. It's only someone who curses God. I have mekarve lahadadi. Now, what's the issue? Look at the two psukim. It's in two different psukim. Now, generally, right, if you have a klalu prat and they were right next to each other in the pasuk, so then what would we say? Then we'd say that the klalu prat, generally, what do we say? Ein bichlal elamasha beprat. Okay, if they were right next to each other in the pasuk, right, it said v'humat v'talita ki kililat elohim taloi, we'd say, ein bichlal elamasha beprat, and we'd have exclusively, right, a mikalel. So hane'at. And then you'd say mikalel, because now we're in the more inclusive one. We'd say the mikalel, and anyone like him, like an oved avodah zarah. But hane'in, right, these, yes, but midachrine lo. But hashta demerchake mehadadi, but because they're separated by a bunch of words in between, what do? We're going to now say that it comes to include more. You follow the logic? We have a klal uprat. I'm sorry, I'm on chachamim. It should be, sorry, it's the opposite. One second. Right. I meant to say... Right. At this point, we're going to say that if we just had the klal upra right next to each other, it would just be the mekalel. Right? Then, hasha demercha ke me'adade, now that they're distanced, ahani l'ribuya avodah kochavim. Didamele bekom mile. Okay? Because avodah avodah kochavim is just like someone who curses God. So therefore, we're going to start very narrow. Right? We're going to say klal upra. We would have said the pra comes to be totally excluding everything except the mekalel Hashem. But because they're separated by a bunch of words, we're going to now include a little bit more than we would have, which is the Oved Avodah Zarah. That's Chachamim. Comes Rabbi Elazar. He does the same exact thing, but his starting point is a different starting point. Okay, that would cause my confusion before, which opinion we're up to. So Rabbi Elazar darshe riboy umiute. Vihumat vitalita is a riboy. Ki kililat is a miut. So ihavu makarve lahadade, if they were right next to each other, what would we say? Lo havu marbinan el avodah kochavim didame le b'chol mile. If we just had v'humat v'talita ki kililat elavim without any words in between, what would we say? We're coming to include, right? It's just the mikalel and anyone who's like the mikalel, okay? Which is where Chachamim's end point was, right? But that's Rabbi Elazar's starting point because again, the ribuy miut is more inclusive. Hashta demercha ke me'adade. Now that they're distanced one from the other, ahane liribuye sharnis kalim. We're now going to include the next level, which is all those who get skila. Okay, but neither of them goes so far as to say all those who get killed. Okay, so that's the machloket between them. Now we're going to talk about their second machloket. Ha'ish tolin, right? Do we hang women also, or do we not hang women? So remember, okay, you can look back. I made the third chart on the sheet. Rabbi Elazar says, ha'ish tolin and the ishad, which is a matter of which direction they face for tzniut reasons. And Chachamim say, we hang the man, but not the woman. So, again, we're going to go into their reasons. My time at the Rabbanan, Amar Krav, Vitalita Oto, Oto Velo Ota, okay? Vitalita Oto Al Eitz, right? So what do they say? He, right? Oto is Zachar. He and not her, so therefore she doesn't get hung. Rabbi Eliezer, Oto Velo Ksuto. We darshan, just like we saw before, that we kill, right? He gets skilat. We said oto bilok suto. It means just his body without anything on it. They darshan the same oto to say oto and not with his clothes. I remember I said when we learned the Mishnah, we're going to learn that they're not clothed when they get hung also. Rabbanan in Achinami. But what about Rabbanan? What, they don't darshan oto bilok suto? Don't they need oto for bilok suto? Meaning they can't learn oto bilok ota. So they say, Rabbanan, so what do you say? So they say, Inachinami, you're right. Oto is Oto Belok Suto. So therefore, if you see on the chart, I crossed it out. Vitalita Oto, Oto Belok Ota. That's not how they darshan it. Ela Amarkra, V'chi Yebi Ishchet. That was the beginning of the Pasuk, right? V'chi Yebi Ishchet Mishpat Mavet. Notice what they say. Ish. Okay, so what do we darshan? Ish Velo Isha. Now the obvious question, what does Rabbi Elazar do with the Ish v'lo Isha? Because he doesn't darshan Ish v'lo Isha. So what does he do with Ish? Rabbi Elazar, hi v'chi yeh b'ish, my darshebe. Amar Ish Lakish, hahu l'me'ute ben sorer u'more. It's to say that a ben sorer u'more doesn't get hung. Okay? Because it's Ish and not a ben sorer u'more. Amar b'hatanya, but wait a minute, doesn't it say in a braita ben sorer u'more niskal v'netle d'ver Rabbi Elazar? But what do you mean? Rabbi Elazar himself says that a ben sorer. So if you're going to say the Ish according to Rabbi Elazar is lema'et, the ben sorer moreh, but he himself says the ben sorer moreh is included. So how could that be? We're going to get back now to this mi'ut and riboy. Okay, now we're going to have another principle. It's called mi'ut achar mi'ut, which means if you narrow it down and then narrow it down again, okay, you have twice it's coming to say to exclude the same thing. So ein mi'ut achar mi'ut ela l'rabot. So we're going to have it excluded and excluded in two different places. And from that, we're going to learn it's actually included. And that's why he concludes that the ben sorer moreh is actually included in the halakha of hung. But also, ish comes to exclude him first. Because he gets excluded in two places. We'll see it inside. So, el amar rav nachman bar yitzhak l'rabot ben sorer moreh. My time, huh? Da amar kra, we're actually going to include the ben sorer moreh. How so? Because the pasuk says, b'chi yeh b'ish chet, ish v'lo ben. Okay, so that's the first one. It has to be a man and not a son, like a younger person. Chet, what does it mean chet? Sha'al, right? Ki yeh b'ish chet. Mi sha'al chet o neherag. Yatza ben Sorer shal shum sofo nehara. This is a very famous thing about the ben Sorer Moreh. He hasn't really done anything wrong, but we're judging him now for what he's going to do in the future. And therefore, we're going to say that because it says ki yeh be'ish chet, it has to have someone who there's a chet. And the ben Sorer Moreh really hasn't done a chet. He's neherag al shem sofo. We're going to get to this later in the Masechet, in the parak that deals with ben Sorer Moreh, the very famous machloket about how you can judge someone on what he's going to do in the future. Generally, people only get judged by where they are right now. But because of that, we exclude him twice, from ish and from chet. So now what do we learn? Yatza ben Sorer Moreh shal shem sofo neherag. Therefore, habe miyut achar miyut ve'em miyut achar miyut ela lerabot. So we exclude him twice, which means we really include him in the end. And that's how Rav Eliezer both excludes him from ish v'lo ben, but then ultimately includes him. And that's why he says in the Braita that he is niskal v'nitla. Okay, continuing. Now we're going to get to the part about Shimon ben Shetach and this issue about the women all being killed on the same day. And the Mishnah says, what does the Mishnah say? You can't learn. This was Rabbi Lezer's retort. This is Rabbi Lezer's retort that how could you say Ein Eisha Nitla? He says, what about Shimon ben Shetach? Right, he hung 80 women, and Chachamim answer him, what do you mean he hung 80 women? He clearly did something outside of halacha because we wouldn't kill two people in one day anyway. But if you recall, what did we learn about Ein Danim Shnayim B'Yom Echad? It's only if they're judged in two different situations. But if you're judging the same people for the same act and the same death, you can judge multiple people. Now, aren't these women, weren't they all judged the same way? Although the Gemara doesn't really address it, Tosfot does. But we'll get to it. It's interesting. The Gemara assumes that, maybe I'll even start from here. The Gemara's assumption is that they did different things wrong. And you can look at Tosfot, and Tosfot says, where it says, Shtei Averot, in Tosfot, luckily it's a very short Tosfot, U'ma'aseh d'Shimon ben Shetach, Yesh ba'alat o, v'yidoni, v'yesh chover chaver, u'shar machshefot. They each did different lotases that are kshurot to magic, right? There's a bunch of different ones. And therefore, the assumption is they weren't all being killed for the same thing. So the assumption of this Gemara is they clearly weren't all killed for the same thing. But, however, we're going to get into a whole diyun about exactly what the where we draw the line about how we decide, is this the same, is it different, etc.
They were witches with specialties.
Right, exactly. Amar lehem Rabbi Eliezer, v'alo shimon shetach halal nashim v'chulei. Amar Rav Chisda, lo shanu ela b'shtei mitot. Okay, I also charted this one out. Okay, it's the last chart on the page. So, Rav Chisda says, lo shanu ela b'shtei mitot. You can't judge two people on the same day if they're getting different death penalties. Aval b'mita achat danim. Okay, you can judge them for one death. So now, the Gemara questions. V'hama said to Shimon ben Shetach, d'mita achat havai. Wasn't it all one death that they got? Okay, didn't they all get killed by the same death? Vic, right, what happened? He hung them all, right? So they all got killed in the same way.
They were all hanged or they were all stoned? And then
so the question is, I don't know if he stoned them. I think he just hung them, but I'm not sure. Right, it says that he hung them. I don't remember the details. We can look in Rashi there. Right, they lifted them up. Ramazan would see what talitov and itatfu. They each grab one. They pick them up. Yeah, they just hung them. It sounds according to the story, he hung them all. So they all got killed in the same way. So how could Rav Chisda say that you couldn't do that? And yet the Mishnah assumes that this was right. That this was problematic, even though according to Rav Chisda that would be okay because they all died in the same death. V'kamrulei de'in danin, right? And they said, but you can't judge them all in one day. This is really what Rav Chisda said. Now we're on the second part of the chart, which is they're fixing Rav Chisda, and they're saying what he really said was this. Lo shanu ela b'mita achat ke'ein shtei mitot. One death that's like two deaths. What does that mean? V'hechidami kigon shtei averot. When people do two different averot, if they do two different averot, okay, it could be one mitah. They all got hung, and this is where Tosfot says, it's obvious that they each did different ma'asim, okay, so different averot, but that lead to the same death, that's already considered different deaths, okay? Then already you can't judge, even though it's the same death. Aval mitah achat va'avera achat danim. But you could judge if it's one avera, they all did the same avera and the same mitah, then you would be able to judge them. Mativ Rav Ada bar Ava, but now Rav Ada bar Ava questions and says, "Ein danim shnayim biyom echad, va'afilu b'no'ef b'no'efet." Here it says you can't judge two in one day, even a man and woman who sleep together, she's an Eshet Ish. Now, they both get the same death. They're both punished by chenek. So how could you say that if they get the same death for the same avera, that you're allowed to judge them on the same day? Right here it says you can't judge them on the same day. So Tirgum Rav Chista, Rav Chista says, when it says Ein Danim Shnayim B'Yom Echad Afilu No'ef V'No'efet, it's not talking about a classic case of a No'ef V'No'efet. It's talking about a case of a No'ef V'No'efet where they would get different penalties. Who knows what that is? Different punishments? Bebat Kohenu Bo'ala. Okay, the first example is the daughter of a Kohen. Okay, whoever's a Bat Kohen knows this. It's the one thing that makes a Bat Kohen unique. That a Bat Kohen, if she goes and is mazneh, she doesn't get chenek, she gets a more chamor punishment of sreifa, because it's a huge embarrassment to her family. So because of that, she would get sreifa, and the one who slept with her would only get chenek. So that would be a case of Ein Danim Shnayim B'Yom Echad.
But if he were a Kohen?
It doesn't matter if he's a Kohen.
That's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, no, it's just the daughter, because it's, right, that's why it's always the difficult thing for the Bat Kohen, myself, being a Bat Kohen. Yeah, that's like the one thing a Bat Kohen has. She causes more embarrassment to her family if she goes off the derech. Okay. Bibat Kohen vizomeme zomemeha. Okay, what's this case? Let's say there's a case where there's a Bat Kohen. She's supposed to get sreifa. Two witnesses come and testify against her. Then the zomimim, then the edim become zomimim, okay? Meaning she's now not guilty anymore because those guys were lying, right? So two people come and say, well, we were with those witnesses. You couldn't have seen what she did. Then two more witnesses come and say, well, right, and at what point, what would happen? The zomimim, right? The zomimim now get the punishment that she was supposed to get. But there's actually, this is a whole sugya we're going to get to, but they don't get to the very end of the Masechet, which is a lead into Makot, that they don't get the punishment that they wanted to do to her, they get the punishment they wanted to do to the guy, because kasher zamam la'asot lo, lo v'lo la. So now what happens? So they're supposed to get chenet.
The sugya last week, like that, where they discussed it.
Where they discussed the Bakohen and the Bo'ala? I don't remember. Okay, so they get chenek and she gets sreifa. Now, in this case, what's going to happen? She's not getting sreifa because it turns out she wasn't guilty. He's going to get, the edim are going to get chenek. Now what happens, though? Two more witnesses could come and knock out those witnesses. So now what happens? She's back on to get killed. Okay, so she's getting sreifa. And those witnesses that lied about her tried to kill her and him with chenek and sreifa, and they're going to now get chenek. So the zomimim are going to get chenek, and she's going to get sreifa. So that's another case where you could have the same ma'aseh, but different mitot.
But you mean there were two witnesses?
There were two groups of witnesses.
The ones that tried to save her, to get her out of
resistance. Right, no, two went against her, right? The first group went against her to kill her.
Right.
Then the second group came and knocked out the first group, which means that she's now innocent. And then a third group came, sorry, I didn't say it well, knocked out the second group, which now brought back the first group, which now makes her dead, right? She gets killed. And the middle group gets killed. You're right, I didn't say it right. There's three groups of witnesses here, okay? So now they're getting killed and she's getting killed. Okay. Right, different punishments. So that would be a case of you can't kill them all on the same day. Okay. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Shamati shebeitim makim ve'onshin shelo min haTorah, ve'lo lavor al devrei Torah, ela kedei la'asot siag la'Torah. I said we were going to get back to this, which is that sometimes the court is allowed to punish in a way, it's a very bold statement, that's not in accordance with the Torah. Okay? And not kedei la'avor divrei Torah, chas v'shalom, right? Not to allow the court to do whatever they want and go against the Torah, but in order to make a siag la'Torah, in order to protect the Torah, they're allowed sometimes to judge people outside of the legal system. Okay, this is a very dangerous statement because on the other hand, the idea is that we have a system and we have judges who we trust. So if those judges decide that that's what needs to be done, they're allowed to. They're going to give a whole bunch of cases. Umaseh b'echad sh'rachav al sus b'shabbat b'yimei Yivanim. In the time of the Yivanim, he rode on a horse on Shabbat. Ve'biyu lebeitim v'sakluhu. Riding on a horse on Shabbat is only a mitzvah in Isser D'Rabbanan. Isser D'Rabbanan, we don't kill you on Shabbat for. However, because it was the time of the Yevanim and there were many gzeirot and people were going against the halacha, they needed to make a bold statement. Ela shashat tzricha lekach, and therefore they stoned him. Now this is very interesting in light of the source where they say that any court that killed anybody was a beit din katlani. They were like murderers. And here we're taking cases where people aren't even deserving of the death penalty, and the court instituted the death penalty. Now, again, you could say, again, whether we didn't even see the source inside yet, but I've mentioned it a few times, either there's different approaches, just like, you know, with capital punishment in America, right? This whole argument, should there be, shouldn't there be, some states think yes, some states think no. It could be that some rabbis thought this is a good thing to do, and some rabbis thought it was a bad thing. So the source that says any beit din that kills, or they're like beit din, you know, they're ratzchaniim, they're murderers. So, you know, that might be one school of thought versus this other school of thought, which thinks, no, when there's a need, we kill people. Or it could be that this didn't actually happen, but they're trying to kind of bring an example to show that the rabbis have the power to do things when there's a need. Whether or not they really did this and this maaseh really happened is a question.
Maybe they're referencing the incident with Elisha ben Apuia when he was riding the horse
with Rabbi Meir.
Rabbi Meir was walking next to him.
So maybe right when he was walking with Rabbi Meir,
riding on the horse on Shabbat,
and maybe it's referencing that story that someone who does such a thing, and maybe it's referencing Acher. That's a very good reference. I like that concept. Okay, next one. There's an interesting one. He slept with his wife under the fig tree, okay, out in public. And they gave him malko for doing it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, technically, halachically speaking. But it was an inappropriate act that he just went and had sex in front of, you know, all these people. Or we don't know if there are people there, but he did it out in public. Okay, so another maaseh where they took the law into their own hands. Interesting, the two examples that they bring, right? You wouldn't think these were the most common, that we'd have to pick riding on a horse on Shabbat and sleeping with your wife out in public. Okay. That's why I like Donna's answer, that maybe it's a reference to Acher, and there's something else going on here about why riding on a horse would be the issue they would pick. Although, if you think about it today, right, people drive on Shabbat, not drive on Shabbat. Maybe that was also like a similar issue, that they didn't like that people were riding on horses on Shabbat and they wanted to make a big deal about it. And maybe there was this issue with people, you know, being out in public doing things. I don't know. It's a good question why these two things. Okay, Mishnah. Ketzad tolinoto. How technically do they do this hanging? Mishakin et hakorah ba'aretz v'ha'etz yotzei. Okay, so they have a beam. Okay, that's the eitz. It's not a tree. They put a beam, okay, it comes from a tree. They put a beam in the ground, and then there's a little branch sticking out of it, like a little
smaller beam.
And makish de adav zo agav zo, vitoleoto. So then there's a few different interpretations. There's a nice picture in the Koran. They would take both their hands, tie them together, and then either the hands would go above the korah, or according to this picture, the Shira will pass it around, the hands would be, the rope that the hands were tied with would be hung on the beam. Okay? And that's how they would hang him. Vitoleoto. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hakora Mutala Kotel, Vitoleoto Kederach Sha Tabachinosin. Rabbi Yossi says it wasn't that it was a straight line, you know, a straight beam with a little beam coming out. It was on a diagonal. The beam would be from the wall to the floor on a diagonal, and they would hang the body on that. Okay, there's no picture of that, unfortunately. But they would, he says, like they would hang meat, when they would want to take the skin off the meat. Okay, an unpleasant connection here, but okay. Umitirino tomiyad. Okay, now it's interesting. They put him on the tree, and then they immediately take him off. Okay? Ve'imlo, ve'imlan, and if they leave him overnight, over alav belo tase. There's an Isra lo tase, shenemar, we saw this in the Pasuk, lo talin nivlato ala etz, ki kavortik berenu, ki kilalat Elohim taloi. Okay? Now why? Klomar, mipnei maze taloi, mipnei sheberechet Hashem, he is hung why? Because he cursed God. Vinimsa Hashem shamayim mitchalel. If he is, and there's this issue. On the one hand, there's this, how do you say it? It's dichotomy. On the one hand, they want to show Bizayon and say, look what happens if you curse God. On the other hand, if he's hung for a long time, people are walking around saying, oh, look, this guy cursed God. And then people just talk about the fact that God was cursed, and that is also bad for God, right? It doesn't look good for God that he was cursed. So, right, or look up for the people that they're talking about, this guy who's cursing God. So Shem Shammai will be mitchalel. Therefore, we put him on the tree for like a moment, and then we take him right off. Okay, and we have to make sure to bury him by night. Amar Rabbi Meir. B'sha'ash Adam, he's going to have another drasha on this, kilalat Elohim taloi. B'sha'ash Adam mitzta'er, shechina malashon omeret. When someone's suffering, what does the shechina say? Kalani miroshi, kalani mizro'i. This is from Kililat Elohim Taloi. They darshan it Kalani. Kalani Milashon. We'll see exactly how they darshan it in the Gemara later. But the idea is, oh, my head is light, my arms are light. In other words, I'm not feeling well. Okay, God is not feeling well when we're suffering, and we get that from Kililat Elohim Taloi. Imken amakomitz te'er al daman shel rishaim shenishpach, kal v'chomer al daman shel tzadikim. If this is how God feels when rishaim are killed, all the more so tzadikim. The lozo bovadamu ella. Now we're going to take lotalin, and we're going to, right, this was two drashot on the kilalat elim taloi. Now we're going to take this lotalin, and we're going to apply it. Lozo bovadamu ella kol amelinet meto over belo taase. If you don't bury your dead on that day, now we're not talking about someone who was murdered. We're talking about, you know, someone who was murdered by the court, but now we're talking about someone who died, any kind of death. You're his family member, you have to, or her family member, you have to make sure to bury them that day. And if you don't, you're over on the lotase of lotalin. Now, we all know that this doesn't always happen. Hold off, we're going to see it right now. Halinehu lechavodo, but if you waited for the kavod of the dead, lahavilo aron betachrichim, for example, okay, if you needed a coffin or the clothing that they would put on the mate, eino over ala, then there's no iser. Okay, and it's because the isur of lotalin has to do with bizayon kvod hamet, and that's why when, let's say, this family member is coming from abroad, we have no problem pushing it off because that's kvod hamet. So on the one hand, it's bizayon not to bury them, but it's also bizayon for them not to be buried with their loved ones nearby. So because of that, it's okay. The lohayu, back to now to the guy who's getting killed by the court. The lohayu kovrino to b'kivrot avotav. They wouldn't bury him right away in the kivrot of his fathers. Ella shtei batei kvarot hayu metukanim lebeit din, echad l'neregim v'nechnakim, echad l'niskalim v'nisrafim. We have the more harsh and the less harsh. Okay, they split them up into two cemeteries. Nitakel habasar. Once, now this is interesting. Generally, we don't uproot graves, but in this case, we bury him temporarily. And then once nitakel habasar, milaktim et ha'atzamot. Once there's no more flesh, they gather up the atzamot and kovrino tobim koman. And then ultimately, they bury him with his fathers. Why is that? Because once all that happens, we assume there was kapara. His death was kapara, so the kapara doesn't happen immediately, so they can't bury him at that moment because we don't want to put Rishaim together with Tzadikim. But once it's no longer, once there's kapara, we're now going to bury him where he belongs with his family.
I don't know what the language is, and I don't know what the timing is, but there was a very long tradition of putting a body on a shelf somewhere to decompose and then gathering the bones and burying that.
During the time of the Melachim.
And if that was during this, I also don't know whether they used bury for that.
Right.
But moving the bones, gathering the bones,
was typical then.
It's not particularly
right.
Unusual. It's not like unburying
right,
a body.
Right, that makes sense.
Cemetery.
Okay, thanks for that correction. Okay. Hakrovim ba'im b'sho'alim b'shloma dayanim. Now, this is an interesting thing. The relatives go and say, how are you? And ask how the dayanim are doing. Ubishlom ha'edim, and the witnesses. Klomar she'em b'libenu alechem shedin emet dantem. Okay, they have to say, don't worry, we're not out to get you. You know, we know you judge what you did what you did. Okay, with honesty. Last thing. V'lo hayu mitablim, and they wouldn't be allowed to mourn for, the family can't mourn for the dead person. Okay, because, so a few reasons given. Rashi says, because we want to make it a bizayon for the dead person, in which case, he'll get kapara, okay, from the bizayon of having no one being mitabel, the kapara will come sooner, you know, or the kapara will happen. Another interpretation given is just it's not appropriate to be mitabel on a rasha. Aval onenim, but you're allowed to be onen. Okay, we'll talk over a minute what this is. She'en aninut ela balev. You're allowed to be, the pshat seems to be not from the lashon of onen, the halachic onen, although there are some who say that you can do the typical halachot of onen, which is a different type of thing of avelud. It's the first day when people are dealing with the burial and they're busy and there's all sorts of, they can't do mitzvot and they can't eat kodshim and they can't eat maser sheni and things like that. But it seems here that that's not the context, because ein aninut ela balev doesn't make sense there. What it means is they can be sad inside because You know, that's, first of all, the assumption is either which interpretation you go, whether it's bizayon for the maid, so it's not a lack of bizayon, and there's no bizayon because nobody knows what they feel inside. And also, if it's not ra'oi to be mitabel for a rasha because it's not kvod tashem or something, so it's, again, doing something in your heart is not going to have any effects on anything. So it's okay. Tanu Rabba, and also there's a third opinion, which is that, which maybe makes the most sense, which is you can't control your feelings. So we can't tell you don't feel sad in your heart. That's something that halakha has no control over, right? Even though sometimes we say you're supposed to be happy today, you're supposed to be sad, right, when it comes to certain days of the year. Or Avelut, for example, you're supposed to be sad. And Regalim, you're supposed to be happy. So there is a little bit of that. But on the other hand, we can't stop you from being sad. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Ilu ne'emar chet, ki yabi'ish chet vitalita hayiti omer tolin oto. Here we get to the order. Someone asked before, right? Do they hang him alive or dead? So now we say, if it had said chet vitalita, then we would have said tolin oto v'achar kach mimitin oto. Kederach shamachuto said. This is, I think, is a clear reference to the Christians, that they would crucify people. So, or like the Romans then. So, kederach shamachuto sa. Tamud lamar, behumat vitalita, mimitim oto v'achar kach tolin oto. Okay, so therefore we're going to learn, not like the Romans do it, but we actually kill them first and then we hang them. Ha ketzad, how would they do it? This is very interesting. Mashin oto ad samuch l'shkiat hachama. They wait until just before nightfall. We'll talk about this in a minute, why. V'gomrim et dino, they finish his din just before the sun starts to set. Umimitin oto, and then they immediately kill him. V'achar kach tolin oto, echad kosher ve'echad matir. Then they hang him. One is tying him up, and right when he's finished tying him up, the next guy unties him. Kedei l'kayem mitzvah tliyah. In order to be yotzei the mitzvah of tliyah, like we said, we don't really want him hung there. We're just trying to, you know, make a V. We did this, okay? A check. So Tana Rabbanan, okay, well, we'll get to this in a minute. So why would they do this with such immediacy right before Shkiat HaChama? They're worried that if they finish the deen, there's a law that if the day you finish the deen, you have to kill him. And there's a law that you have to kill him before nightfall. So what are we worried about? Typical human behavior. If we finish the deen, let's say at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, they'll say, oh, we have time to kill him. So they'll push it off. They'll get involved in other things. They'll forget. And then they'll end up with the problem that they didn't kill the person on the same day. So therefore, they do it at the very last possible moment so that no one's going to delay and say, oh, we'll do this later.
What about the possibility of his going back to court or somebody else? Remember that they can bring him back as many times
Good point.
As possible.
So it doesn't leave a lot of room for that.
No.
Right. So this source doesn't work in so well with that. I have to agree with you. Yeah, that's a good question. Look, I don't know, when they say samuch l'shkiat hachama, they don't mean minutes. You know, they mean maybe like an hour before. They're trying to say, do it in the later part of the day. And I don't think they mean 2 minutes before and, you know, everyone's rushing. They mean, you know, do it somewhat before and don't do it earlier in the day because then you'll end up delaying. But do it with enough time, let's say, to allow for maybe going back and forth and to allow for this. But do it at the last possible moment that leaves you whatever time you need to get it done, but not too much time that you'll forget about things. Tana Rabbanan, eights. Okay, you're supposed to tie him on a tree, hang him on a tree. Shomea ani bein betalush bein bemechubar. It sounds like it could be a tree that's attached to the ground with its roots, or it could be detached. Talmud lamar, therefore it says, ki kavor tigberenu. Now, what do they learn from kavor tigberenu? We saw this the other day. They would bury the implements that they killed him with, including the tree. Okay, the tree they use will be buried. So now, if you're going to bury it, it has to be misheino mechusar elakvura. Has to be something that you can immediately bury. If it's a tree that you need a special guy to know how to cut the tree down and start chopping it down, yetzazesh mechusar ktsitzav kvura. So therefore, it can't be mechubar. Has to be a beam that you stick into the ground. Rabbi Yossi omer misheino mechusar elakvura. Yetzazesh mechusar tlishav kvura. He says even a beam that's stuck into the ground, that also needs uprooting from the ground. It's not the same as the roots that have to be uprooted, but it's still uprooting from the ground. That's also a problem. V'rabbanan t'lisha lav klumhi. Rabbanan say, oh, that's nothing. To just pick it up out of the ground, that's not a big deal. You know, if you pegged it in, let's say. So you just take out the peg and it's out. That's fine. But according to Rabbi Yossi, that's also problematic. So it has to be, let's say, just stuck in the ground, but not wedged into the ground in a very serious way. Klomar, mipnei maze taloi, mipnei sheberech. Now we're back to this drasha on kikilat elohim taloi. Tanya. Omer Rabbi Meir. Mishalom, mashalama devar dome. They made a mashal. What is it similar? Lishne achim to'omim ba'ir. Echad omer, ba'ir achat. Two brothers, two twins in one city. Echad mina omelech, ve'achar yatza lelistiyut. One became the king and the other became a robber. Tziva ha'melech, utzla'uhu. They told the king, yeah, the king demanded that they hang his twin brother. Kol ha'ra'eh uto, anyone who now sees the brother, omer, ha'melech talui. Right? Everyone who sees it says, oh my God, the king is hung. What did he do? Tziva ha'melech v'horiduhu. And that's the way, ki kilalat elohim taloi, on the one hand, God wants to punish us. On the other hand, people are going to say, that's God, because we're made in the image of God. It's a nice mashal. Amar Rabbi Meir, my mashma, how do we get to that when God sees this, right? God, when Rishaim are killed, God is sad from the kilalat elohim. How do we get it from the pasuk? Amar Abaye, kiman, damar kal let. Okay, kal means, right, it's, kal is when you don't take something seriously. So, kilalat, he darshins, is kal let. It's not light, meaning this is heavy. This is heavy for God too. Okay, it's hard for him. I'm really rava im ken, kaver alai roshi, kaver alai zro imi baile. If it wanted to say, Torah doesn't speak in negatives, it's not light, it would have said, it's heavy. So if that's what they wanted to say, it would have used the word kaver and not kal let. So El Amar Rava, Rava darshins it differently. Kamanda Amar, Kiel li Alma. The world is light to me, which means I am heavy, and compared to me, the world is light. There's a few different ways of explaining it, but that's one of them. Hai mibayle legufa, but don't they need that for itself to say kikilat elohim taloi, like we darshined it before, that, you know, it's about someone who's mekalel Hashem and someone who's like that? So what do they say? How could we darshan two things? Im kei neimakram mikalel. My kililat. Right? We learn from the fact that it doesn't say Mikalel Elohim Taloi, it says Kilila. From there we learn you can darshan two things. Both who's to get killed like this and hung, and also how God is feeling when this happens. Ve'ema kule laha'chihu da'ata. Why don't you say that the whole pasuk is just coming to talk about God and how God feels? Imke ne'makra kalat. It would have just said kalat if it wanted to say that it was kal, right? Kali alma. My kililat, shmami natarite. So again, whether, right, you might have needed both lamids for kal li, but, okay, kal li alma. But anyway, they say, it's clear you can learn two things from me. Okay, the lo zo bilvad, now we're going to talk about the fact that you can't leave the dead body over any dead body overnight. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum rishum bayochai, minayin lemalinet meito shover ala belo taaseh, tamud lamar, ki kavor tikbirenu. Okay, mikam the malinit meitosh over below tase. Because it says ki kavur tikvareno, it comes to include something additional. It means that even anyone who gets buried, right, needs to be buried that day. You can't wait till the next day. Ika de amre, there are some people who say that actually what he was talking about was something else. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum rishum bayochai, remez lekvura minator minayin, tamud lomar ki kavur tikvareno, mikam remez lekvura minatora. Some people say that what Rabbi Yochanan was actually saying is here you can find a remez that you have to bury people. Okay, that you can't not bury them in the ground, but it's a mitzvah to bury your mate. Okay, that's a mitzvah for the family to deal with the burial and to dafka bury him in the ground. Okay, so Amar le Shavra Malka le Rav Chama Kvura me'ator minayin ishtik velo Amar le midi. Okay, Shavra Malka didn't answer him. Okay, he asked him where is the remez for Kvura me'ator, and he doesn't answer him. Amar Vacha Bar Yaakov imser alma b'diade de tipshai. What is the world given over to stupid people? Dibaila the Maimar, ki kavor. He should have used the pasuk. It was obvious. Ki tavor, kavor, right? That shows you have to bury the mate. So now they say, well, why didn't he answer that? Dili avi be aron. That might only prove that you have to put him in a, to kavor to berenu kamim, put him in a coffin, but not necessarily bury it in the ground, right? This is something that's so obvious to us, but they're raising it as a question. Tikberenu lo mashmale. Sorry, Deliyave be Aaron and Tikberenu lo mash. One second, how do they read this?
Tikberenu kama lo mash relishkin wouldn't have accepted.
Right. What about Tikberenu? In other words, Kavur we understand could be in Aaron, but because it says Tikberenu, maybe we would say that would include also burying in the ground. So lo mash male, he didn't think that Shavro Malka would accept that. He didn't think that was going to be a good answer. And this is all why Rav Chama didn't say anything. He could have said Kavur, no, because that could have meant Naron. He could have said Tikbaranu, no, because he doesn't think Shavar Malka would have accepted that. B'neima mide'ikbor tzadike. What about the fact that tzadikim we know were buried in Marad HaMachpelah, right? Minhag ba'ama. You could just say that was a minhag. It doesn't mean that that's how they did it. We're going to have a whole bunch of questions like that now. We'll finish up with them. Midikavra kadosh baruch hu Moshe. What about that? God buried Moshe? Lo, delo lishtani mi minhag. Maybe God just wanted to do it in the typical way people did it, but not that you have to. Tashma, what about this pasuk? V'safdu lo kol Yisrael v'kavru oto. This is Aviyah, the son of Yeravam. Remember these pasukim? We're going to go back to them tomorrow at the end of today. The daf here, we'll get to it all tomorrow. We're going to review all these psukim and use them for other things. So safdu lo kol Yisrael, none of the sons of Yeravam got buried or hespedim, but dafka Aviyah did because he was a good guy. Bekavru oto. So what do you see? They buried him. That means people get buried, right? Again, delo lishanei b'minhag. We're going to answer the same question each time, which is they didn't want to change from the minhag. Lo yisbedu v'lo yikavru l'domen al p'nei adamayu. There's a pasuk from Yirmiyahu about all the Rishayim aren't going to get hespedim. They're not going to get buried. They're just going to be domen on the dung. Okay, dung on the ground. You again, delishtamenu meminhaga. It's just because they're right. The punishment is they're going to be different than the way everyone is. But again, all these psukim don't prove that you have to do it. It just proves that this is what people did.
Or burial caves. I guess caves is underground.
Right, caves are underground. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we're going to get to we'll start with a very interesting question, which is burial because of bizyonahu or mishum kapara? Okay, is it for, okay, well, whatever. We'll get to this and we'll get to another interesting question, which is the hesped for the krovim or is it for the dead person? We'll see what the nafkaminas are and we'll try to bring sources to prove either which way. They're not going to actually conclude though.